20 veterans of World War II told their life stories in 2018 as part of South Australia's contribution to the Anzac Day commemoration initiative. They enriched our collective memory accordingly. So strong has been the public response that now another 6 veterans have been interviewed, adding their voices to this exercise in oral history. And so, in 2019, we have the honour of presenting World War II in Words, Part 2. The war itself is remembered as a time of oppression and destruction, lasting 6 years and forever reshaping each society caught in its conflict. In addition, though, it fostered mateship and achievement and honour. In this second series of interviews, our 6 veterans reflect on the emergence of those qualities in that life-changing era. Their words supply an enduring record of service and survival. First up, Ed Ebsery, a farmer from the York Peninsula who went to war, was twice wounded, and then proceeded to a post-war life of distinguished community leadership. In 1989, he was named Citizen of the Year for the township of Bute. In 1991, his public service in agriculture and sport was further recognised with the Medal of the Order of Australia. The RSL added to his list of honours in 2018 through bestowing upon him its highest award, the Meritorious Service Medal. It's the 16th of October.
That's right.
The day after your 99th birthday.
That's right.
Congratulations.
That's it. Yes.
Can I take you right back, Ed, to early days? You've lived most of your life apart from your army service in this part of the country. Take me back to those days on the farm and your memories of working on the farm and riding a horse to school.
Yes, we had horse teams, and it was, get up early and give them their breakfast, all of the horses, and then harness them up and away you go. It was pretty slow sort of business compared to what it is today. But when the tractors came into use, we got I got a Fordson, not a really giant of a thing. the lowest grade of
tractor.
Yeah.
Now, you used to ride a pony to school, I believe.
Oh yes. Yes, I had 2 eldest sisters who went in a horse and sulky, and I started off with them, and then my dad thought a good idea if I could ride the pony, and the pony would follow the sulky, you see. But no, pony wasn't interested in doing that, and no sort of coaxing or anything would convince him. that was the way to go. So my dad got his wagon whip flicked his pony's backside with it, and the pony shot out from underneath me like a flop. Well, the working man caught the pony and brought it back, and they put me on it again, and that's the same sort of problem. So it was a while before I got to ride,
You had to walk behind the pony.
And the pony was as cunning as a devil. It would run close to the fence, and if you didn't shift your leg and lift up, it would barbed wire would scratch you and tear your trousers and so on. And that let me see. Yes, that used to finish up with me falling off, of course, cocking one leg up. And the pony would just stay ahead of me on the way, so that I couldn't catch up and ride. It was quite an experience.
Tough days. Come the 1930s, this existence on the farm, it was obviously an important occupation, a reserved occupation, yeah. But you decided to enlist. Why was that? Why did you join up?
Oh, I just had the idea that I'd like to do that and sort of help out. And I was only 20 when I enlisted, and I spent 5.5 years in the army.
What was it like making the transition from a farm life suddenly to army discipline, being ordered what to do, a very different form of life? How do you feel about that?
Yes, it was you had to be a bit flexible, you know. I know another one of the lads, a friend of mine, he couldn't handle the discipline that they had, and he went and asked my dad if he'd take him on to take my place on the farm. So that's what happened to him.
But you went off to the Middle East on active service.
Yeah.
What was that like? Describe to me you've been in a rural position all your life, riding the pony to school. Suddenly, you're on a troop ship.
Yeah.
Off to war. What did you see? What was it like for you?
Oh, well, yes, it was all a new experience, of course, and we were in Lebanon first, and
you're fighting the Vichy French?
Yes, it was.
What are your memories of that campaign? You were under fire. What are your memories of it?
Well, we just thought it was part of the game, and I know that I was wounded twice. First time was when I taking a grenade out of my pouch, and hit that finger, and
I'm looking at the third finger.
Didn't hit the body of the grenade. It hit the handle part. It was a bit flexible there, and it didn't have the pin out or anything like that. It didn't go off.
It didn't go off. That's as well. But you've got a bit of a mangled finger there to this day. Your third finger left hand.
Yes, it was like a fork.
Could have been a lot worse.
Could have. There was another time I was wounded, but we were doing an attack, and overnight we got into positions and all this, and as we were trying to move up, I came across a Bren gun. One of our chaps had been there, and the sniper had got him. So I took over the Bren and gave him a few bursts, and I calculated that he was firing from the prone position on the floor, and that's where their sniper was firing at, and I got a bullet through
the leg
there,
left foot, yes,
and it come out and split the heel one in half.
Was that in Lebanon or was that New Guinea later? Where did that happen?
That was let me see.
Because you served against the Vichy French in the Syria-Lebanon campaign.
Yeah.
And then later, you were sent on the Kokoda track.
Yeah.
I was just wondering, this incident with the Bren gun and the sniper, was that the Kokoda track or was that Lebanon?
That was, yes, it was.
It was Kokoda. Kokoda track.
Yeah.
My goodness me, your memories of walking, hacking your way up the track. Tell me about that. How hard was it? What was it like?
Well, before we started, everybody got a stick, staff to help them get up. There were steps, log steps, you know, in the steeper parts, And it was it was pretty heavy going.
I think pretty heavy going is another statement. I know what you mean. I was talking to another veteran of the track who talked about the incredibly steep terrain and the lack of water.
Yeah, that is right. Strange thing about that track was that it was steep drop each side, only wide enough to walk along the top.
Yep.
And I noticed a strange thing. There was a fellow with a sniffer dog, who would find the enemy in a pothole so on, and he was trained to walk alongside the man's leg, but there wasn't room for him. Struggling and couldn't get the idea of getting up and following his master. He just struggled along.
It's like that pony of yours all over again.
Yes.
And that wound was a pretty serious one. You make light of it now, but you were shot through the left foot, split your heel bone, obviously. Mm. What happened after that?
Well, I got I was carried by natives on a stretcher, and yes.
This was the Fuzzy Wuzzy Angels, is that right?
Yeah, that's right. They carried me for quite a distance, and then I was put on a plane and flown back to Australia.
Back to Australia, yep. Mm. Good on you. When you got here, what happened?
What's that?
What happened when you got back to Australia? Where were you and what happened?
Oh, I had the foot in plaster, of course, and that gave me quite a spell doing nothing.
But you recovered?
Oh, yes.
And the army wasn't finished with you?
No, that's right. They yes. We went down on the coast.
Yes.
And there were bits of little bouts there on the way and
I think you had some pretty serious stuff. You had the finished the Ridge campaign.
Yeah.
And the capture, the famous capture of Shaggy Ridge.
Oh, yeah.
What are your memories of that?
Yeah, that was a pretty tough one. We were just pretty fortunate that another unit was sent up the track and got there to relieve us, you see, and or at least to help us there.
Can I ask you, I'm putting it really candidly now, was it hand-to-hand combat, bayonets, that sort of thing?
No.
How violent was it?
No, it wasn't. It was machine guns,
yep,
and rifle.
Yeah. Mm. Now, had you been promoted at all at this time? Yes.
Yes, I started as a private and went up through the... I was a sergeant for a while. Then I was sent to the officer's course and I came back as a lieutenant. And I was given charge of a group from blokes and went to Bougainville.
Ah, Bougainville, right. Mm. So you were a platoon commander by this stage.
Yeah. Mm.
Is it true to say you enjoyed the army? What did it offer you? What were the good things about it?
Oh, it was a good life in a way, and particularly when in camp, when there was nothing doing. It was quite a good life, really.
Hmm. What are your feelings about it now? You gave 6 years nearly of your life, and then you gave a considerable amount of time after the war to the CMF,
yeah,
as a platoon commander. Do you regret those years, or do you relish and welcome those years?
Oh, it's a hard one. It was just part of my life, that's all. I was able to do it, so I did.
What do you feel about the idea of national service, compulsory military national,
yeah,
service? So what are your feelings on that, Ed?
That's, I thought it was necessary, it was a good idea, and yes, in case they were required.
You were, as well as being active in the CMF, very active in the RSL.
Oh, yes. Yes, I was president for quite a few years. And still have contact with a lot of the fellows.
What do you think the RSL does? What's good about it? Why did you want to be involved? Why did you hold senior office in it? What do you think its main attributes are?
Oh, I don't know. It was just mateship, I suppose. That's just a bad explainer.
Now, you've come back. You've been away to war. You've seen a lot. You'd been at the sharp end. You'd got a bad injury, a wound to the foot, involved with the RSL on your return. But then, back to the farm.
Yeah. Yes, back to the farm. And
now, I'm told you bought some land and invested in a bit of farm equipment.
Yeah.
Take me through those years.
Yes. First I got a small tractor and did what I could with that. Had a decent harvest and got a bigger tractor.
So it was, you were cropping and running sheep and cattle as well?
Oh, yeah. Yes, that's, well, they called it a mixed farm, yes. I suppose.
And big change in your life. You got married as well.
Oh, yeah.
How did you meet your wife? How did you meet up? How did you meet the lady that became your wife?
Oh, I suppose it was at the local dances or something like that. And just become acquainted and coupled up.
Lovely. Vida, that's right pronunciation. Vida, V-I-D-A, yeah. Your wife Vida, yeah. Lovely name. Okay. And it was hard work for her though on the farm as well, I guess. What did she have to do?
Oh yes, she was she used to milk a cow and do other plenty of other jobs for a woman to do whilst I was out working in a paddock.
Yeah.
And even while I was working and feeding and so on with this little tractor, she would go and look around the sheep and see that they were all okay. And she would come and tell me if there was a ewe in trouble with lambing, and I'd go and fix her up.
Of course, you had some little lambs of your own. You had four children.
Yes. Alternately, girl, boy, girl, boy.
Lovely. What were your, in those years, coming back to hard work on the farm, raising animals, raising children, getting married. Did you have memories of the war, of battle, gunfire, bombardment? Did you have memories that haunted you and gave you nightmares?
There was a bit of that, but I gradually became less important. And Oh, yes, it did last for a while.
You dreamt about it?
You
dreamt about it? It was in your dreams?
Oh, sometimes, but not very much. It'd be... Sometimes I'd have a damn dream, or sometimes I'd be thinking about it and wouldn't be able to sleep. And so on, but... Oh, that gradually sorted itself out.
You had a lot to do because apart from all those activities, I understand you were incredibly active in local sport.
Oh, yes, I did play as much sport as I could.
Yeah. Mm. So that was tennis,
yeah.
Football.
Yeah.
And you're a modest man, but I might as well record the fact you became a life member of the Broughton Football League.
Yeah.
Well done.
Yeah.
Mm. And life membership of a number of football clubs.
Yes. Yes, I was the association president as well as president in the club.
And active in the lodge and the agricultural society.
Mm.
Very much
a
leading figure on the peninsula.
Yes, I suppose.
Of all your farming activities, the mixed cropping, the merino stud, the cattle, which gave you the greatest satisfaction? Which one gave you great pride as a primary producer, Ed?
Which
agricultural pursuit really gave you a sense of pride and achievement? Because you had the farming, you had the mixed farming crops, you had sheep, you had cattle.
Yes. I did have a cattle stud, and I had a merino stud, and they were, I was quite proud of what I was doing there. The merino stud, I would breed rams, and fellows would come and buy two rams or three or one or whatever, and that gave me a lot of satisfaction.
And
probably not much profit, but
prizes at the show, that sort of thing.
Yeah,
that'd be good. Now, you were active also in funding for a hospital, St John Ambulance, and a controller of civil defence.
Yeah.
Come the 1970s, I understand you moved to the township of Bute and your sons took over most of the farm.
Yeah.
Right, okay. Mm. What did you do there? Did you work? You turned, let me see, you must have been well into your 50s by that stage. Did you have a job there at all?
I would still work on the farm when there was, when I could be any help.
Hmm. And you had a management job as well, is that right? With agricultural machinery, tractors?
Yeah. Yes, I did.
So you were active all that time?
That's right. Yeah. Mm.
Ed, a remarkable life. It's been recognised in many, many ways.
Mm.
I have to go on tape and say that you were made Bute Citizen of the Year on one occasion.
Yes. Yes, I suppose.
Mm. An Order of Australia medal. A remarkable life. Is there anything in it you would have done differently if given the chance again?
I don't think I've ever thought that way. I thought, well, this is how it goes and that's how it goes. Hmm. No, I thought it was rather futile wishing for something else. Farm life was what I was born and bred for, and that's what I was. Hmm.
And you're a pretty fine soldier too. Did you feel you were a natural soldier because of your background and your discipline and your hard work. You seem to take to it very well.
Yeah, well, I was only, yeah, a strange thing that I always had been on the farm, worked on my own, and I come into this army business and I'm promoted the steps up, corporal, section leader, sergeant, and then went to the officer's course. Oh, there was plenty of, seemed to be going on the way up all the time.
Good on you. Just looking back, just to wrap things up, you've got your fine family, grandchildren.
Mm.
What's your lasting message to them, from you? How would you like them to remember you?
Oh, I don't know, just if I had a message for them, it would be behave yourself for the boys to act as gentlemen and so on. Oh, they all were pretty good.
You've been pretty good yourself. It's been a great honour talking to you today. Thank you so much for your time.